Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the NXT preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by the Dudley Boys of What Culture, Michael Hamplett and Michael Sidgwick, to look ahead to tonight's episode of NXT. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts, where we not only review NXT, but also Raw, SmackDown, AEW Dynamite, pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week, complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, though, joined by Hamplett and Sidgwick to look ahead to NXT tonight. And another show stacked with excitement and another title match look forward to tonight inside a steel cage, Michael Hamplett.
Yeah, not a bad one. One of them ones where we've talked about, like, the fortnightly cycles of NXT booking, or at most a three-week one where they'll say this match is coming in 2 weeks. We have rapidly returned to that, and that's fine. But some are going to hit more than others. I think the last 2 weeks, we had pretty substantial cards to talk about, which is funny considering that NXT's unopposed now. You'd think they'd have fired up a few more with them when they were trying to win a war, but like instead they just panicked. Yeah, we've had two really big cards. This feels like a slightly down week compared to some of the stuff coming next week, but it's all been built to. I can't complain too loudly. I just don't think this one's quite as spectacular on paper.
I'm expecting an over-delivery, which, again, just to echo comments I made last week, possibly indicates that the show is capable of creating decent expectations for the prospective quality of it. I've said 1 million times in a take that the rest of the wrestling media will one day grasp, but I won't get credit for, that AEW Dynamite has brought into focus through its very existence that NXT is actually not the alternative, it's sports entertainment, but it is becoming, once again, a pretty decent sports entertainment brand.
As I mentioned, though, the steel cage match tonight is the big, big news, of course. Johnny Gargano versus Bronson Reed for the NXT North American Championship. Johnny Gargano has tried to weasel his way out of this on numerous occasions, Hamplett, but I think tonight may be the night that he loses that title.
Yeah, we're going to find out tonight, I think, if perception is reality with Bronson Reed, because I think all three of us collectively think he's had enough turns. Feel like he's been 50-50 more than he's been pushed in the last sort of year or so. It's always one win followed by a much bigger loss. I think they changed that tonight, and I do think he wins, but it's all going to come down to a feeling. It's all going to be, like, I have no doubt this match will be really well constructed. I have a certainty that Johnny Gargano will do absolutely everything he can to get Bronson Reed over. It's WWE, so Johnny Gargano's going to lose upwards. Like, you would expect him to be in a title match against Karrion Kross, which, again, we're kind of giving a pass to because of the prospective match quality rather than because the booking makes total sense. And you pitched, in my opinion, what was the perfect finish last week as a nice sequel to Bronson Reed's last great moment in that ladder match where he jumped with Candice on his back. Like, how many members of the way can he get on his back? They've tried to scale the steel cage as he's going for the tsunami, and he just takes them with him. I think it's a tremendous finish. I think it makes great use of the dynamic of this stable. Really memorable way to try and actually commit to making Bronson Reed. But as I say, it's something I don't think we're going to know till tomorrow morning. It's all going to be a feeling as whether this is too little too late. But a big finish and a great match might give him a chance.
He can't do the tsunami from the top of the cage. He can't. He's massive. Very, very, very high up. Johnny Gargano is small. Like, that, I was just about to say, they're asking for injury if they divide the spot like this. but it would be very NXT of them to do so. I'll be terrified if, in fact, that spot happens. And given, again, that it's NXT, it more likely will than not. Yeah, the whole losing upwards thing, I don't have particularly high hopes that they will address that in a logical, much less entertaining fashion. But, you know, Karrion Kross can demand the match from Regal because Scarlett just has chats with him all the time. Cups of coffee with William Regal for whatever reason. So we'll address that as and when it happens. I don't think there'll be much to address, sadly. But I'm expecting an over-delivery. WWE cage matches are inherently bad because the very second you see, and it happens way too often when it shouldn't, the amount of times you see a babyface try and scale that cage, it just instantly looks bitch AF.
Mm.
Bitch AF when you see a babyface do it. It's one thing for a heel to do it. A heel in that context would behave in such a way that they try and escape like the path of least resistance, because that's what a heel often does. If they do that in this match and have Bronson Reed, who can do the King Kong visual to marry up with his Tron, and Johnny Gargano, literally at the opening bell, I want him to look Bronson Reed up and down and then just run away. A little comedy spot, and he's so fast that it will look great when, in fact, Bronson Reed, who's pretty agile in himself, can climb as fast as Johnny Gargano, and then Johnny Gargano can sell the shock of that just as well. What I'm arriving at here is that Johnny Gargano's heel character lends itself quite perfectly to an imperfect match genre that WWE has just got wrong consistently. And I think they've eventually finally arrived at a really good steel cage match, which actually makes sense of the kind of upside down booking that we've seen in an NXT that, because there's a blockade to the main roster these days, now that it acts as a brand in itself, we see characters turn when they shouldn't be turned because there's little else for them to do. So we're in an NXT now where Karrion Kross is the babyface and Johnny Gargano's the heel and Candice LeRae's a heel. And as well as some of them perform well in those roles, it's all backwards. Like, Johnny Gargano shouldn't be playing heel against Bronson Reed or Karrion Kross. It's just odd. Doesn't work. It works because they're talented. But they've finally stumbled upon the best possible version of doing a wonky dynamic. I just think this is going to be way better than it has any right to be. Not that philosophically it's a good idea to miscast these people as drastically as they do.
Yeah, you're right. I think there will be a title change tonight, and I think it is going to be a great match, like you say, with Johnny Gargano's involvement in it and all the mad monster stuff they can do with Bronson Reed in there, whether it be, you know, going the whole hog and doing the Bobby Lashley Umaga diving through the side of the cage. I don't think they'll do that tonight, but it's certainly a possibility. Or, I don't know, Gargano's at the top of the cage and Bronson Reed shakes it so hard that Gargano falls back into the ring or something like that. But yeah, I think there is going to be some mad spot in there, of course. It wouldn't be NXT without something like that. And yeah, maybe not the tsunami from the top of the cage with all the members on, but either a tsunami from the top of the cage with no members on him, or a tsunami from the top rope with all the members trying to desperately clamber over the top of the cage and then just getting caught then. And like you say, a call back to what we saw in that ladder match. But either way, I think Bronson Reed leaves as NXT North American champion. And like you say, Johnny Gargano just seems the logical next takeover opponent for Karrion Kross. Speaking of which, there's going to be a prime target tonight on Kross and Balor, which always is, you know, it's not really a lot to analyze here, Sidge, but it's one of the real strengths that that NXT and WWE has, as you often say, is their production department.
Yeah, the first one was good between Kross and Balor. I remember distinctly they did something similar before their match at Stand and Deliver, but there hasn't really been a great deal of story since then.
Mm.
So I've got what these prime targets do is they edit the very best lines. And because they're framed in the context of a package, the sort of artificiality of WWE's dialogue feels way better.
Mm.
It's not in a live setting. That's why these things work. And they edit it so that the images marry with the lines. So Finn Balor can talk about, I don't know, how hard he is or how hard he hits, and then he can marry that with like crunching visuals of him doing just that. It's just a composite of these little overproduced fragments of WWE TV, and they all come together and they do a tremendous job usually of doing it. But what's the story here? How can they do a better prime target when realistically Karrion Kross has beat him clean in the middle? Finn Balor's gone on holiday. I guess they could use that as a thread. Come back, just said I want it, and Karrion Kross went, yeah, yeah. Let's see who's the hardest in the school. That's what this match is. The two hardest lads in the year duking it out to see who's the hardest. And I mean, I guess it works, but I can't imagine them. Usually there's whip something out of thin air with these prime targets, but this air's pretty thin.
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to need some sort of surprise to be entertained by this. Like, just to echo Cedric's point, there's no story. There's a reason for a match. That's about as generous as I can be. Finn asked, and Kross said, yes, there's a mutual respect, but he's going to beat him again. That's Kross's mindset for all of this. And I think that's all right for a TV match. They're not asking you to, you know, tune in live on in your house for it. They know where this sits in terms of, like, prestige at this point as a rematch. And they obviously believe that another win, potentially, over Balor is going to help Kross. So I'm not quite sure what they're going to explore that's going to make this any more entertaining than, for example, the video package to the first match, which did that, you know, which sort of talked about them being really hard and Finn Balor not being worried about the size difference because, you know, he is NXT and blah, 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 blah. Like, I struggle to see what they're going to, like, how they're going to make this any different. They didn't really go very near, like, when Cedric says, like, hardest kids in school, I was thinking, like local hard guys in a pub car park. They didn't go near the demon / fallen prey elements of the characters for the first title match. I can't see them doing that here because Kross has got a win. So you're going really big on Karrion Kross if somehow we see you tease out the demon because Finn's realised he needs that to beat Kross and he hasn't been that for such a long time or whatever. And then to lose, I don't know. I don't know if like I'd go that far with Kross at the moment. So yeah, like I've not got a great deal of anticipation. So I'm waiting to be surprised by this because the prime target format is a successful one, but there is just so little to see.
One thing to look forward to tonight, though, is Toni Storm versus Zoe Stark. We've talked a lot, Hamlet, recently about how Zoe Stark has just been a revelation on NXT. And I'm really into this feud and these matches that they've had and just how they've elevated each other, really.
Yeah, me too. I like the fact that Zoe Stark has felt like a very logically introduced character into this world of NXT. A big showcase against Io Shirai, a big win against Toni Storm that Toni Storm has been pissed off about enough to want to stay in Zoe Stark's business, and thus we have a mini feud. Like, I just, again, like, I feel like I repeat myself all the time on this. It's really basic, but NXT needed far more basic than it was doing in the way that it brought these characters in. And you only need, like, you know, there's some stuff to like about it, but you only need to compare Zoe Stark to a 1,000-year-old dragon ghost as a comparison for how basic can work versus overly complicated. And yeah, I like this. It's very, very reminiscent of how they'd book feuds that were never destined for pay-per-views on the likes of Superstars and Wrestling Challenge when I was a kid. It ticks those boxes for me. I can feel and see people getting over and people performing roles. And luckily, in Toni Storm and Zoe Stark, there's a decent expectation of the quality of the match as well. Like, I thought it, like, Xavier Ramey has kind of gotten over a little bit as a result of this. She's somebody to talk about when they want to use her next week. So it's that kind of feud that's also extending out to other people. I'd like Stark to win, but I have a feeling they're going to give it to Storm. And they're going to do it as a bit of a decider thing because Stark has lost. So it's not like they've got like an undefeated streak to predict, like to protect or anything like that. So I feel like they'll go to decider, which might be a match too much for this. But I have enjoyed this. I'm not thrilled or exhilarated by it, but I like seeing it play out.
I think you go with Storm here because they've done enough. They've done really quite a quietly excellent job of doing Zoe Stark in terms of a push. But she's one that they can keep on the back burner. With NXT, historically, they've trusted their audience to say, right, okay, we're going to give you a glimpse of this character. We're going to protect them without the horrible pejorative connotations that that word has in WWE at large these days, with the idea being you are going to maintain a connection with that character for when the machinations unfold and we're going to need to bring her into the mix. But Toni Storm at this point, like rapidly approaching busted flush territory, at least when you measure a potential against the booking or like lack of focus, like people rate, like Toni Storm has had massive pre-pandemic matches in NXT in the Mae Young Classic. She won it, didn't she?
Yeah.
From going from, it's a fall from grace, and I don't think there's any way you can spin otherwise. If they are going to, and she's still very young, but if they want to maximize that potential, because the problem is if you stigmatize someone as being a nearly there person or someone they don't really care about that often, this perception can take root for literally years and years. Mm. It doesn't matter how talented Cesaro is, and that's an example I'll go back to quite often. People for years, when people still really cared about WWE, beyond that just mutant core that will just accept anything they do, people for years and years were going, oh God, I'd love to see Cesaro get the push. I'd love to see Cesaro get the push. And when they eventually did it, it was like, who cares? We kind of know you're not going to do anything with them. I think the NXT fans need a show of faith in Toni Storm if they are going to actually get behind her at any point, because there will come a finger snap moment where it's like, but I don't care. Mm. Doesn't matter what you do subsequent to that, I don't care. So yeah, Storm to win makes perfect sense given where each woman is at. And in terms of the prospective match quality, yeah, they should bang. If they're given the time more so than the work on the kickoff ahead of whichever takeover show, probably Stand and Deliver, then yes, definitely they should bang in that sort of bracing way that it's always just a thrill to watch in this NXT women's division.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
One of the real highlights of NXT recently, Sige, of course, has been the back and forth, well, mainly just mugging off, between Cameron Grimes and Ted DiBiase. He's mugged him off buying a watch. He's mugged him off going to celebrate his victory at the club. He's bought a mansion so he couldn't own it or whatever it may be. And now tonight, Ted DiBiase is going to be live on NXT. I'm giddy with excitement to see what they do with this one.
Yeah, I'm expecting actual development here. There's no point flying the guy in and advertising his appearance, because we've seen like cameos, if you like, where if you watch, you know, but if you they don't promote, oh, Ted DiBiase is going to be the secret cameo guy as a punchline. Why would you promote that? It feels like this is going to develop one way or the other with the fact that he's been pre-advertised in the live setting. Look, because we've just seen, oh, punchline. Oh, that's an amusing punchline. Amusing to various degrees. We've labored on this point of, well, where's it going? And where we think it's going, or where I think it's going, is that Cameron Grimes gets one over on DiBiase by secretly purchasing the $1 million title, possibly from his kid. I can't really say anything more than that. It just feels like it's the time now. Mm. Like, Cameron Grimes is Teflon to looking like a tit. That's the thing. So he could look like a tit and they could just do a live version of those skits they've been doing. So it's not like fundamental to his career prospects that he gets one over on Ted DiBiase. But at some point, maybe he has to.
It would be nice as well. Boring wrestling analyst talk here. It would be nice if there was an like evidence of a match down the line that this could lead to as well. I enjoy the comedy. I really like some are better than others, but generally speaking, I've really enjoyed like how they've used Ted DiBiase. It's not felt too on the nose, which it really could have done. I think with a heavier hand, like it would have sunk early in it, and it hasn't. But I would like a match, because I would like for this Cameron Grimes character. Remember that week before he went to the club where he won with ease? It was quite nice seeing him wrestle and win and be reminded that, well, if he wanted to, he could start fighting for titles as well as being really good partner and like being rich. I kind of wanted to see him with a belt at this point. And this, I'd like to think this stuff with Ted DiBiase, obviously it could be the $1 million belt, but I'd like to see it lead to a couple of matches. And all I can think of beyond like what we all talked about last week about possibly a Ted DiBiase Jr. cameo or something, like Cameron Grimes has bought him out of poverty that his dad's left him in because he's not financially looked after him or whatever, is you drag it out to In Your House and Ted DiBiase has he's bought a mystery opponent for Cameron Grimes. Like Grimes gets one over on him this week or something. And it's actually set up a nice, like a cute mini feud for In Your House. Ted DiBiase, famed, of course, for introducing The Undertaker as a mystery opponent. So what's his money going to provide for In Your House is like a nice hook of a surprise if they can get anybody interesting. A Cameron Grimes impersonator, like the fake Undertaker. You know, there's lots of Ted DiBiase history that you can mine that makes it, and it can be like really fluffy on the night. It doesn't have to be the banger match. It just needs to be like a decent payoff. It's like as one of like the middle thing of a 5 or 6 match stacked takeover. That's a bit of a let me up on a takeover when you've got all these banger matches coming. I want the fun, but a little bit of focus into something a bit more significant for Grimes next would be like an added positive to all this Ted DiBiase stuff.
Yeah, I love those ideas. I genuinely don't know what they're going to do here. Like you say, whether they're going to do the $1 million championship, whether they're going to do a feud with them, whether they're going to do the thing we've talked about for a while, which is like, we're so alike, maybe we should be pals or something like that. I think there's obviously scope for all the obvious jokes of like Cameron Grimes arrives at NXT, but who's parked in his special parking space? Oh, bloody Ted DiBiase's there and he's got his personalized number plate or whatever it may be. And Cameron Grimes has got his special locker room. But wait a second, he's in with the bloody plebs. He's having to share a locker room with Ever-Rise. I don't know, but there's a lot of scope for stuff there. But yeah, this feels like a very good, exciting progression for something that we were sort of saying, oh, will they keep up with this? And fair play to them, they have. And now, yeah, it's opened out into some very exciting potential storylines going forward. And having him live on NXT just sort of solidifies that. But tonight we have got a Patreon interview with Arash Markazi. I like what Arash did with Adam Cole, of course, by the pool a few weeks ago. An interesting sort of change of pace with these interviews. And it's something that Pete Dunne sort of needs, because, you know, they like to say, oh, well, he could challenge anyone for the title, but he has, and he's not won. So it almost needs this refocusing, whether it be Kushida, that kind of goes quite well, or whatever it may be. I don't know, but what do you reckon?
I think it's bold to promote a Pete Dunne interview rather than just have it be where it's an interruption like normal. I don't foresee this being the sort of thing that's going to hook that extra 50,000 viewers for a quarter hour they may be looking for. I don't know. I don't know because I'm like, just subjectively speaking, I'm not really sold on this attempt to rehabilitate Pete Dunne from like two or three high profile losses in a row. Like, I know, like, that. I love that takeover match with Kushida. Really, really, I thought it was, like, great use of Kushida, brilliant use of Pete Dunne, again, like, a really important win. But did it rehabilitate him from failing constantly in main events a month before? I don't think it did. I think there's more work to be done, And I'm not so sure that, like, a hyped interview is the way to do it. They've got faith in him, so that's a good thing.
Mm.
It, like, this is probably the fourth time that we've had, like, interview time with Pete Dunne. Like in the last 5 or 6 weeks. So they obviously see something in that delivery style of his, which is great. But like, I'm going to have to wait for another match to judge it objectively. I just thought the Kushida thing was such an awesome step in the right direction. But then there's an arrogance of a heel that you can accept, but there's an arrogance of a character that you just can't buy when Pete Dunne comes out with the rest of the number one contenders crew and says, I want a title shot. There's a big difference there. Like Cameron Grimes could come out and obnoxiously say, I want a number one contenders shot. And you could completely receive that as an in-character thing. Pete Dunne comes out and you're just like, you don't deserve this, mate. You're like, you've lost and lost and lost again.
Mm.
It's a totally different feeling. But yeah, like I feel like I need more objective evidence in matches to tell me that Pete Dunne's going to be the guy again rather than a chat. So I don't know, maybe like, They want you to consider him a potential challenger for like a television title. Like Cross versus Dunne will happen on television, I think, probably within the next 2 months. So I think this is working towards that. And that's all I've really got in mind for him at the moment.
It's just a load of telling, not showing, isn't it? That's all it is with Pete Dunne. He's not credible. He's lost all of his big spot matches other than one against Kushida. And look what that turned into. That seems to be the direction I would go in personally, because there's a seed there that can germinate into an actual program. On a general level, I do like these legit sports guys interview wrestlers gimmick that they've been experimenting with. It's better than the vacant-eyed backstage interviewers who just ask fluff questions. I'm not saying like it's a hard-hitting journalist in this context, but you know what I mean. It's just an attempt to make it feel a little bit more legitimate, and I'm all about that. But aghast, I can't get excited about a Pete Dunne promo. And not to be too harsh, but I don't think I could be excited about a Pete Dunne promo even if he'd been pushed as an actual winner. A lot of cake eating happening here, and I'm not sharing a slice.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see how they work this one out. Because like you say, it's plot holes potentially here if he just immediately says he wants a title shot. And like... when they said, oh, yeah, you know, we came out and said, oh, I could beat you, or whatever it was last week. And I was like, no, you can't. I watched you face them, then you lost to both of them. So I don't understand it. But, yeah, interesting strategy possibly for a, not necessarily a rebuild, because like you say, he's had the stuff with Kushida. But he's got some potential. I'm just annoyed they haven't called it a sit-down interview, because you could just have some more fun with that, couldn't you? Right, let's conclude, Siege, by talking about the Undisputed Era, or what is left of the Undisputed Era. We've got Cool Cal O'Reilly, Bobby Fish, of course, who returned last week and said he's got his own things to deal with, Adam Cole, who's just still sat by the pool, and Roderick Strong, who's just buggered off. What is next for them? What's happening with them, do you reckon?
You know, we see on these podcasts, I think that actually is moving forward into a new pre-USA direction, is it? Because I feel like I've answered this question about a million times. There's no great storyline advancement here. Yes, I guess there is. But it's not like anything I care about. You know what I mean? Like, if it was good booking, I should be able to latch onto it and guess the different directions. And maybe someone who isn't completely numb to it might. I don't know. I've got no idea. I've got no idea. Look, let's try and use some backwards reverse engineering here. Kyle O'Reilly is Cool Kyle. Is it a masquerade? Do I care? No, I don't. but he's the new face. He at some point is going to have Karrion Kross. He should beat Adam Cole in a match that counts to get to that match. I'm tired. I don't really care about this. Am I wrong? Or is it just not exciting at all?
I wouldn't say it's terribly exciting. No, I agree. I liked last week. I really did. I thought, at least, the story they were trying to tell is that the Undisputed Era has completely exploded and ultimately everybody is just fine and they've gone their separate ways. And I think that's where the intrigue lies, is that this is actually going to come back together and be explosive. I expect maybe Bobby Fish to wrestle tonight, and it's the sort of graphic they'll put up like 10 minutes before showtime, like picking a heel out of thin air, but like an Austin Theory, you know, like just somebody, a heel for Bobby Fish to beat and then find himself on the wrong end of an attack. And then Kyle O'Reilly makes the save, and it's very much the same as last week. Oh, I owed you one. You know, we're not wearing our armbands anymore and the same t-shirts, but we're mates, and that's it. With Roderick Strong gone and with Adam Cole no selling it, I think there's something there, but we're very much at the start of that. You know, we're only going to get to see now if that's just me going off with some fantasy booking or if they've got like something totally different in mind. But I sensed that was the idea. Like Roderick Strong's resigned from his job. Like that's quite interesting because he's not gone to the main roster. He's not like been drafted to Raw or something like that. He's handed in his notice at NXT, seemingly depressed at the state of things. That's wrestling drama telling you that he's going to come back, isn't it? That's what that is. He's going to make a shocking return. And Adam Cole wants to pretend that everything's fine. Like, so I'm not into much yet, but I feel like that's where they're going to go. So maybe we'll just get a bit more of a nod towards that being the direction. But I don't think it's unfair to say that there's nothing to get excited about because I haven't really shown us anything yet, unless you're mad into Kyle O'Reilly's singles character. Like, it's just like walk into Glastonbury. And I'm not that keen on him. I don't think he's particularly... I don't think he's particularly relatable. This guy, I don't really believe him. He looks like he's been gimmicked up on like a creator wrestler on a game. And by all accounts, like this is him finally being allowed to wear his band t-shirts. Like, I don't believe they're his band t-shirts. I think they're somebody else's. Like, I certainly don't believe it's a straw hat. I don't know. Like, I think we might get there with Undisputed Era thing, but we're not there yet.
He claims on Instagram, because God bless him, he got buried for the perceived Orange Cassidy imitation. I don't think that was the intention. I think he's realised on Twitter afterwards and thought, oh, yes, okay, I looked a bit like him. That's not what I was trying to. He claims that he is trying to adapt his own irreverent, quirky personality on the TV. But again, that WWE lens is so suffocating that maybe that's the issue.
Mm. I like the idea of him being trying to portray that he's fine when obviously he's not fine. And like, that's the whole overcompensation of it all. But again, I don't have a great deal of track record of WWE.
It's not Hangman Page, is it?
Yeah, exactly. This is exactly what I'm alluding to. But intriguing to see how this plays out tonight with the return of Bobby Fish last week. And of course, all the fallout from the two title matches. Raquel Gonzalez retaining the NXT Women's Championship and Kushida retaining the Cruiserweight Championship. Interesting to see what happens next with them too. But let us know your thoughts ahead of NXT tonight on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch there. You can follow all three of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
You can follow Michael Sidgwick at
Sidgwick.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at What Culture WWE. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts. The Raw review is available right now. The NXT review will be available tomorrow, as will our AEW Dynamite preview as well. But for now, this has been the NXT preview. My thanks to the Dadley Boys. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.